Hello, Stuart here on Good Friday for our Good Friday time of reflection and prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, today in remembrance and awe we tread the holy ground of Calvary, this place of abandonment that has become the scene of our adoration, this place of suffering that has become the source of our peace, this place of violence that has become the battlefield on which love is victorious. Merciful God, as we relive the events of this day, it is with awe that we count again the cost of our salvation. Words cannot be found to utter our thanksgiving. Accept our adoration. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 19, starting at verse 1.
Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they slapped him in the face. Once more Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered there, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him." When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." As soon as the chief priests and the officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify! Crucify!" But Pilate answered, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him." The Jewish leaders insisted, "We have a law, and according to that law he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realize I have the power either to free you or to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free. But the Jewish leaders kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the Stone Pavement. It was the day of preparation of Passover. It was about noon. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him away, take him away, crucify him." "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priests answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. And there they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read the sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. Let's not tear it, they said to one another. Let's decide by lot who will get it. This happened that scripture might be fulfilled that said, they divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, Woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. And from that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I'm thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, It is finished. And with that he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you may believe. These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And as another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 35 kilograms. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it, with the spices, in strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there.
Gerard Hughes, a Jesuit priest, writes this about Good Friday. There is a place and time for thinking about the Passion, for reading commentaries, theorizing about its meaning. But today is a time for being still, standing in imagination in the event, and begging God to lead us into the mystery of his love. The death of Jesus was once and for all a historical event, but the love of God which expressed itself in this event is the love in which we now live and move. Today seems a day of reflection, a day of silence, not a day for theologizing about what the cross means. I don't think Jesus had a fully worked out theology about what he was doing when he went to the cross to die, but he was doing it in obedience to his Father, and we are grateful and thankful for his obedience, which results in forgiveness, new life, the destruction of sin and death, and a pathway for eternal life for us all. And that perhaps is all that we need to know on this day. So let's just spend a moment in quiet, giving thanks to Jesus that he went to the cross for us. And as we gather at the cross, we bring other people who are suffering or going through their own Good Fridays. Holy God, we offer to you our prayers for the world. As Jesus suffered on the cross, we bring before you all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, those that suffer mental afflictions, those who have suffered this past year of social isolation, and the collateral damage that has been inflicted through this pandemic. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, as Jesus was persecuted, we pray for all those who are persecuted in the world. We pray for our fellow Christian believers in places like North Korea and China and Islamic countries who are imprisoned for their faith. We pray for all prisoners of conscience. We pray for all those prisoners of conscience of Amnesty International who are imprisoned for their beliefs and their principles. We pray that you would draw near to each of them and give them strength and perseverance, peace and courage. We pray for those that inflict and maintain the machines of persecution and oppression, that you would break their hearts and they would turn to see the damage that they do to people and to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all those who are abandoned or forgotten, for those who create the nets through which others fall. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And in a moment's quiet, we bring before you our own loss and pain and prayers and the suffering of the past year we bring before you. Those that we have lost, those that have been damaged physically and mentally during this past year. Lord, we offer all these prayers. And as you hear our cries and respond in love, enable us to hear the cry of others and respond with a love which reflects yours alone. In Jesus the Crucified One, we pray. Amen. And I close with a blessing. Holy God, may we live this day with Christ's call to discipleship ringing in our ears. And should this day bring us pain, we pray that we may meet it with honesty and hope, grounded in the knowledge that even in the darkest place, we may be touched and changed by your love. And so may we grasp with all your people how wide and long, how high and deep is the love of Christ, and be filled with the very nature of God. Amen. And may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon us and remain with us this day and always. Amen. Thank you for joining with us, and I wish you a thoughtful and blessed Good Friday. Go well, and God bless.